The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back as we continue. Great to have all of you here, and let's get right back to our calls. Ricky is up next in Alabama. Hello, Ricky.
Hello, Paul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
What is it about Nate retiring?
Ricky, I was surprised, but I'm over it now.
Well, I'm over too. But I think he's retired, don't you? No, he's retired. He's going to enjoy himself.
So are you happy with Kalen DeBoer so far? He's getting really good reports so far, Ricky. Well, I'm really glad to hear from you again. You take care of yourself, and we will talk to you very soon. Tammy is up next in Texas. Hello, Tammy.
Hi, good afternoon, Paul.
Thank you.
I wanted to hear your thoughts, if you have any yet, on who might be the new head coach for the Lady Vols, given that Kelly is out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fascinating conundrum, Tammy. Do you stay in the program? And the name that keeps popping up is Kara Lawson, who's only coached for 2 years because of COVID. Or do you just simply go out and find the best coach? My gut feeling, knowing this athletic director, he will simply look for the best possible coach.
Yeah, I think that too. I think as much as I liked Kelly Harper, both as a player and a person and that kind of thing, I think they've gone down the coaching tree a couple of times, and it's time for someone else to come in and from outside the program. And then if they want to go back, down the road, if the person's not as successful as they need to be or they move on to something, then that's another story. But
Tammy, I think the issue with doing it for the third straight time is that you're hiring someone who really does not have very much coaching experience. You're hiring her for her name, which is pretty big. But
I agree, though.
You just got through doing that with Kelly Harper.
I agree with you. I don't think Carol's got enough coaching experience to warrant that big job. Stick with Duke, stick where she is, prove herself.
Right.
And, because Kelly had very good credentials coming in.
She did.
Taking four different schools to the NCAA tournament. She came in with some solid credentials, but I don't think they need to go back to
that. My guess, Tammy, is that they're going to swing big. Could be one reason why we haven't already seen a coach.
Exactly. Well, have a great day. Thanks so much. I'm loving all this talk about women's basketball.
Love it. Thank you. Yeah, it's really what you're hearing for the past 3 days is why Tennessee women's basketball has always been as great, because there's such passion and there's fascination with where the program is going to go next. Slayton is up next in Alabama. Hello, Slayton.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon, first of all.
Thank you.
But I just wanted to hear your thoughts on Kalen DeBoer, because I think he's been doing a pretty good job, but obviously we don't know everything.
We don't know very much is a good deduction there, Slayton. I think he's got a really good staff. He's got essentially a general manager, which is we're seeing more and more in college football. And I think the best thing that has happened is that he's not getting that much attention. Nick Saban still continues to suck a lot of oxygen out of the room, and Kalen DeBoer can do what he was hired to do, and that would be a football coach.
Yeah, and I think it's great that he got a lot of recruits to stay. I mean, he's lost a lot of people, but a good bit of good players, but he got some recruits like Ryan Williams and other guys to stay.
Yeah, listen, it's not his fault that a couple of big-time players walked out as he was signing the contract, but I think he has stemmed that bleeding, and we're 2 weeks away from the next portal, and I would be surprised if he doesn't go into the portal and pick up a couple of key players.
Oh yeah, and I think it's great that he was able to get Caden Proctor back.
Yeah.
On that.
Absolutely. That was a big game. Well, Slayton.
Yeah, that was true.
Thank you. For a 14-year-old, you're far brighter than most of our older callers. You call us again soon. Thank you very, very much. Let's check in with Billy in Arkansas. Hey, Billy.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well. Good to hear from you.
My question is Coach Musselman's replacement. I hear he's going to USC, or that's the local news?
Yeah, I mean, that's more than local news. That seems to be the speculation right now in California. He's a Southern California person, as you probably know. I don't know. I mean, to me, that is a great job. I think being the head coach at Arkansas is one of the best jobs in the SEC.
Yes, sir. That's also how I feel. But I haven't seen any or heard any speculation yet on who might be
his replacement. Well, Billy, I think what we need to do is hear the official announcement. But knowing Hunter Yurecek, I guarantee you he is he's working on it. Hey, thank you for the call. We want to say hello to Walker Hayes, who we had a chance to meet out in Pasadena. He also he was on the float with us. He also sung before the national championship game. Walker, it's great to see you again. How are you?
Paul, it's so good to see you. Man, it was an honor to meet you that day, but you didn't wave as long as I did. You left the float early.
Well, Walker, I was being, there were cat calls and people were spitting on me and security wanted me off that thing as quickly as possible.
Hey, honestly, in my humble opinion, you were the biggest celebrity on that float. I was honored to meet you. Sorry, my daughter just knocked the
Well, that's okay.
Phone
well,
down
yeah, I told the stories to friends, but there was a guy on the float with us from Michigan, and I for the life of me, I can't remember his name. He was a pretty famous guy. He was a Broadway actor. He was whatever. He was getting on my nerves. I will confess this on television here. I whispered to Walker, who's a big Alabama fan from South Alabama. I said, Walker, if you'll go along with me, I realize you got a better career trajectory down the road than I do, but what do you think about us grabbing this guy and throwing him off the float?
I was ready. I was right there with you. And his name was Darren. And he's I think his biggest role in a show or movie is from a show called Glee.
Yeah, that's.
But he was a really nice guy. But I don't know about you, but I felt like he was kind of a bandwagon, like might have been from Michigan. So he put on a blue and gold shirt and just went after it that day. But he was having fun, and I'm with you. It was getting under my skin. I would have thrown him off with you, but
I don't think Walker. I don't think anything more than a broken leg and maybe a broken neck. But I didn't really care at that point.
Yeah. It was he was getting a big reaction, and I felt like, I don't know about you, but during the parade, I felt like Bama was really outnumbered. Like maybe Bama didn't want to wake up and get outside that early, but it was just. It was go big blue everywhere, so I was frustrated.
I mean,
too.
You've done it all, and in the following week, you sung before the CFP. I mean, I can only imagine some of the experiences that you have had in your still fairly young career.
No, it's amazing. Well, I'm not young, but my career is. but yeah, man, my family and I, we love sports, especially college football. So any opportunity. We have to be involved. We say yes, and we all go. The whole gang goes. You know, they were at the Rose Bowl parade. They were at the Rose Bowl, and then we did play the championship. We're obviously hoping Bama would have been there, but hey, man, we got to be there as some of Saban's last game. So that was iconic for us.
It is so interesting to talk to you because I mean you. I was about to say your life story would make a good film, but I think it is going to be a film, is it not?
My story is amazing, and I mean it's still being written, and there's many days where I just kind of look up at God and I don't understand, you know, what's going on. But yeah, I mean, my wife and I moved to Nashville in 2004, so Fancy Like just came out 3 years ago, so you can imagine. I mean, the grind for 17, 18 years. And in the meantime, we had six kids. I'm 8 years sober. We lost our seventh child. So life has thumped us around quite a bit. So this life is very different, you know, with the success of some music and hanging out with people like Paul Feinbaum. I mean, what makes you more royalty, you know, down with my brothers and sisters? When I got to meet you, that was it, man. That's all that mattered. But man, I'm just grateful that I get to put out music now, and I actually have people out there listening, and we'll see what the future holds.
You mentioned your sobriety, and I know your record coming out is called Sober Thoughts. It's so cliche to ask someone, who's a writer, because that's what you do. You write about your experiences and relationships. But this is a little bit different than a breakup at a rodeo. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, honestly, I didn't ever like say this at the crossroads on the way to here, but I always thought, man, if I ever have the opportunity to sing on stages to thousands of people, I'd love to sing about stuff that matters. And life matters to me. You know, life is heavy. I'm a recovering alcoholic, will be till the day I die. I actually have a non-alcoholic beer coming out next month with Athletic Brewing Company. So it made sense to release a lot of songs that have to do with addiction, recovery, and my personal struggle with alcohol. And again, that's a headspace that I just live in. Every week, I at least write one song that's in that vein, in that space. And I'm always looking for somebody to help, always looking for somebody to share my story with, in hopes that they might feel less alone in that battle. And then also, that's just therapeutic for me. You know, as I continue to walk with that struggle, I'm always talking to my kids about it. I'm always talking to my wife about it, where I am, how I'm doing. And I love to be vulnerable. And again, I kind of always said that, you know, and I want to keep that promise. If I ever had an audience, I would not just inundate them with just junk, you know, to try to feed my bank account or anything. I would always try to just sing about things that matter. So Sober Thoughts, that matters to me, this project coming out and what it talks about.
And Walker, we can't wait to hear it, but I'd be remiss if I didn't offer the dichotomy of your career, because your biggest hit so far is anything but a serious song. Fancy Light came out a couple of years ago, and people are still walking down the street humming it. I want to take you back to that moment, because I mean, country stars are rarely ever going to cross over, but this one crossed over all over the world. Tell us about tell us the backstory.
It was crazy. So I'll just give you the briefest, just the high points here. We're in COVID. I'm sitting at home with my family. My team is probably thinking at this time, Paul, they're probably thinking, you're becoming dad-erific. Like, there's not a lot of star power going on. You know, you're living in your flannel pants. All I ever see you doing is dad stuff. And honestly, I couldn't help it. I mean, we weren't getting on cool jets. We weren't playing any shows. I really had nothing to brag about. And on the way home from the in-laws one day, we visit an Applebee's. Now, listen, when you got six kids, it's tough to please everybody as far as where you're going to eat. But when I said Applebee's that night, when I said you want to go somewhere fancy where you sit down and you have a waiter, my car erupted. Everyone was so excited. And that's where the idea came from. And honestly, Paul, after that, it's overnight. I mean, my daughter, I put the song out on a Friday. I did the dance with her on a Sunday. No expectations, honestly. Had no idea how the world was about to react. And by the end of that week, when we walked into Chick-fil-A as a family, it was like a meet and greet. I mean, people wanted pictures. People wanted autographs. I mean, our life changed overnight.
And I mean, it's amazing. I mean, it's hard. Nashville is, it's hard to get a song on the charts, let alone at the top of the charts and on every other chart.
It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And I have the utmost respect, even if I don't necessarily like someone's music personally and just crank it up and live with it in my car. I have so much respect for anybody that ever has one hit. And like you just said, the country charts, that's miraculous. So especially these people who do it over and over, I'm amazed. But go back to your point, maybe I should write some lighter stuff, man. I mean, maybe that was the trick, not be so serious all the time.
Hey, I got a great idea. Write about being on the Paul Feinbaum show. That could be, that's a number one hit right
Let's
there.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
And by the way, I made that, I'll tell you off the air one day, but it's too long, but I had that happen to me once. And I think it's actually a good idea because we'll get behind it and we will play it 15 times an hour to
a
make
day.
Sure it gets on the charts.
Let's go. The Paul Feinbaum show. That's it.
So Walker, seriously, the record's coming out. I know it's personal. What's it? I mean, when you do a record like that, you have to get out there. What's your spring and summer look like?
Oh, it's wild. It's crazy. So my family travels with me on the bus. They go everywhere I go. So the bus picks us up every Wednesday night, and we just go across the country and come back on Sunday mornings. I play all these new songs. The non-alcoholic beer with Athletic will be at all of the venues that we play. So spending a lot of time trying to get that as many places as I can. Trying to get it in Brighton Denny. That'd be sick to have a non-alcoholic option available for the fans, you know, down there. But yeah, just promoting that. And I love tour life. That's a very, very special time for me. The rush of hearing the crowd, seeing AA, Fancy Like, You Broke Up With Me, you know, the hits. It's pretty outstanding. And I wish everybody could get a taste of that. But that's what starts in May. And so that's what we got going on.
Well, I'm just glad because I've run occasionally into an Alabama fan on tour, but we were in Nashville a couple weeks ago for basketball, and Jordan Davis slapping his gums about LSU.
Oh, yeah.
And Luke Bryan, I'm sick of hearing him talk about Georgia. So finally, a roll tighter here.
No, I'm the one and only, man. We are in it. We got Tennessee orange left and right. Every time we play Georgia, somebody, you know, zip ties a flag to our port. So yeah, it's good. That's how I felt when I saw you on that float, man. It was like, oh my God, here we go, finally a friend. But yeah, man, Roll Tide, 100%. It's gonna be an exciting year. Pumped about the basketball. I mean, that's just bonus. So let's go,
Walker. Can't wait to do this again, and forever in my life I'll remember not being on the float in the Tournament of Roses parade, but scheming murder with Walker
right.
Hayes.
Let's do it. Let's
murder
do
of
it,
a
man.
Michigan
hey,
fan. I think that would have been a big hit.
That's the song, "Murder of a Michigan Fan" with Paul. Hey man, thanks for having me.
It was
You're
our
so
pleasure.
Kind. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Walker Hayes, it's hard to pass an Applebee's without thinking of Walker. I mean, that was just a monster hit. So great to have him with us. And we are back with your calls right after this.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Tanner in Tuscaloosa is up next.
Hey, Paul. Look, I'll make this short, buddy, but I got to give AJ his props. He called me out yesterday. I did. I froze up. I choked. But there was a name I was trying to think of, and for the life of me, that name would not come to mind. But, Paul, you ever seen the Western TV show Gunsmoke?
Oh, sure.
With
Matt Dillon,
yeah, so
and
I was,
Miss Kitty?
I was trying to think of Mr. Matt Dillon. And
I always wondered about Matt and Miss Kitty, didn't you, Randy?
Well, see, that was my point, Paul. You know, Hugh Freeze, he probably has a few Miss Kitty's in his cell phone. He's no Matt Dillon. That was what I was trying to get out. But AJ, he called me.
Hey, by the way,
out,
Tanner, whatever happened yesterday, you made up for it today.
Well, you know, I'm an honest man, if anything, so I wanted to give him his props. And I honestly, it might have been the freeze effect. You know, I just mentioned the man's name, and I choked. And, you know, the Auburn basketball team, they choked, and they're just from the same school. And we all remember Gravedigger. That was the biggest choke of the year. So he may be on to something. That freeze effect might be real. But
it's a freeze warning.
Yeah. I just wanted to give him his props and say, AJ, I'm going to keep turning these wrenches, and you keep polishing that little doorknob of yours. So roll tide, Paul.
Great call. Tanner, whatever happened yesterday, he made up for it today. Bubba is up next.
Big ball, looking good, sounding good. Hey, that's a cat daddy impression. Come on, AJ. Yeah, stay in your lane, dude.
The dearly departed
job,
cat daddy.
I got cat daddy covered.
Cat daddy's gone. He's out of the tournament.
Yeah. He just got trampled under by a herd of squirrels. It looked like Dominic doing a little ballot harvesting, ain't he, Paul?
Man, Dominic has been watching too much CNN.
Yeah, he's playing like a gangster down on the beach.
Oh, gee.
Calling his shots, dude.
How about Myrtle? I mean, he's coming down to he lives in Pittsburgh, so where do you go to the beach? I mean, you can't find any beach until you get to South Carolina under 670 degrees, can you?
I would not go to Myrtle Beach. If I drove all the way from Pittsburgh, I would find me a cleaner, more sane beach to hang out on.
Go to the Jersey Shore and freeze.
Yeah, do something. I wouldn't go to Myrtle Beach. But anyway, great show today. I think Handsome Joe needs to throw a red flag in on this deal.
Yeah, I tell you what, Bobby, if Handsome Joe comes in here and goes politically correct, we are going to kill him.
I don't want
to hear the namby-pamby, we are the world UN version of Handsome Joe.
Yeah, I don't think Handsome Joe's whiny. I think he's got right to protest, though. But I want to give a shout-out to Rick Barnes and the guys on the Big Orange basketball team. They had a hell of a season.
They did.
Did a great job. Doc Connect, going to be great in the NBA. Them boys played their tail off. I don't really have much to say about the game Sunday other than that was some poor officiating.
Oh, yeah.
And take it for what it's worth. That big guy just stood under the bucket and dumped him in and could do no wrong.
He was under there long enough to eat a sandwich.
Yeah, I'm not saying that was the difference in the game, but it affected the ebb and flow of everything, man. Yeah. And I just, you know, we had guys in foul trouble in the first half. And I'm like, come on, man.
Well, the guy just he parked his car in the paint, and the referees, there was one time I counted 7 seconds he was in the middle.
Yeah, I just couldn't get over it, man, but... This is the only time you're going to hear me say this, Paul, but roll tide, knock them punks from UConn out, and then take Purdue down. And y'all have a good evening.
Okay, Bubba. Did you really mean that, though? We'll take a break. We went a little bit long with Walker, but we have time to get your phone calls in. Graham Mertz a little bit later on. We are coming right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back. Appreciate you calling. And Chris is up next. Hello, Chris.
Hey, how are you, Paul?
We are doing great. Thank you.
You know, Paul, I was telling your screener there, we were going to do this thing about the Muscle Shoals, you know, thing up there, the music and all that. And
oh, sure.
Year, maybe a little more than that, and something happened, a sports thing or something happened, and we had to cancel it or something. And I was talking to the screener. I was going to call him. I was going to say, hey, if you want to do it again, you know, I'll be glad.
Tell us about, I mean, obviously I'm well aware of the Muscle Shoals scene, Fame Studios and everything. What is your involvement?
I'm a musician. I'm
oh, okay.
Musician, and right now I write praise songs, but back then, and this is in the late 60s and early 70s.
Yeah, by the way, Chris, you'll do a better job than I will since you're part of it, but explain to the audience the importance of that scene, especially 60s, 70s, I mean, even today, but was it not at the epicenter of music back then?
Well, they went there because they could get a hit record. That's what they did.
Oh, okay.
Paul Simon. Bob Seger went there and did old time rock and roll, and he couldn't get a hit. You know, he's from Michigan, and they were going to Nashville and California now, and they weren't getting hits out of their songs. And they would come to Muscle Shoals, and Bob Seger did the old time rock and roll. You know,
right? Oh, sure. Famous song.
And a black guy from Sheffield wrote the song, and Bob Seger wanted part of the writing credits, and he said, no, you're not going to get it. You know, Rick Hall, he was the producer there, Fame Studios and owner. And they went round and round. Finally, you know, Bob Seger said, all right, okay, you know, we'll go with that. He wanted writing credits. But, Rod Stewart was there. He came over to do an album from England, I think, And I did, we were doing a recording session out at a studio out close to the Muscle Shoals Airport. The Muscle Shoals Airport is Avalon Avenue, is where Fame Studios is.
Right. And by the way, some of you may have said, there was a famous documentary, Muscle Shoals, that came out, a couple of years ago?
There was, yeah, and I've watched it probably like three or four times, I guess, you know, and it tells a pretty good story of, you know, what happened.
So, being a musician, you meet a lot of people, and you don't go, man, I can't believe I'm meeting this guy, because that's what you do. But of all the people that you've met, who are some of those who stand out the most after all these years?
Bob Seger was pretty nice, and Percy Sledge.
Oh my goodness!
I tell you what, these big guys, you know, they had closed recording sessions, Paul, and you could not get in unless you were part of it, you know, part of it. Crowd. I mean, part of their group, you know, but they would usually start their recording sessions like at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and
right.
You know, go all the way till.
So tell me this, because it became famous in Sweet Home Alabama, when Lynyrd Skynyrd talks about in Alabama they have in Muscle Shoals they have the Swampers. Who exactly were the Swampers?
The Swampers were the four studio musicians at Fame,
okay.
Recording studio.
Got it.
Barry Beckett, and they were the four, and they played on everybody's hit records that would come there, Wilson Pickett and everybody. They were the four studio musicians. Roger Hawkins, he was the drummer. Barry Beckett was the keyboard guy, and David Hood was the bass player, and Jimmy Johnson was the guitar player. They call him, and Leon Russell gave them that name because they were so funky. And because but they were just you know, just they, anybody would come in, they would just say, well, Paul Simon came and he had like two songs he was going to do, and he had 2 days booked studio, 2 full days, and they came in and they had them done like in 3 hours, both songs. And he said, what am I going to do, you know? And the Swamper said, Barry Beckett told him, he said, well, you're not got any more songs we can do? So they did like 3 more songs. You know, he came to do 2, and they did a total of 5 songs. But and then they have a cabin over on the Tennessee River on the other side of Russell Shoals, and they would the artists would go over there and stay, and it was a real nice cabin. I've seen it before, overlooking the Tennessee River. You know, but yeah, they're not as big as they used to. The people still come there, but you know, it's just I guess they're going to like New York, Los Angeles, and stuff like that. But yeah, the Swampers, they could sit down and like do anything. But Paul Simon was there, and he did like ended up like doing 4 songs. Kodachrome was the first one.
Oh my goodness, yeah, I remember.
Linda Ronstadt stayed there. They said she was in and out of most of the shows a lot. I never did see her. Now they would come in and out, and nobody cared who they were around there. They would go into Walmart. You know, I think somebody said Eric Clapton came in there at Walmart and got something.
That is funny. No, it's funny. By the way, Chris, I was in Nashville 3 weeks ago, and I did an interview with somebody, and we did it at where was that, Danny? RCA's was it Studio A?
Studio B.
Studio B. Okay.
I think I got a studio.
Yeah, it was B. It was Studio B, where Elvis did his RCA stuff and Dolly. It was. I've been there twice now, and to do an interview, and it's pretty amazing. I've been to a studio in up in. In Muscle Shoals, but I guess it was Fame. I don't know. I went up there one day. I've told this story too many times with a really pretty well-known songwriter, and we hung out, and he showed me how to write a song. But it was Walt Aldridge was his name. You may know him.
Everybody knows. Everybody. Okay. He's well-known all over the world.
I mean, is he still up there?
You know, Paul, I don't know. I think he might, I don't even know if he's still living or not.
Okay, by the way, it's a long story, but he ran into, I was at something for Randy Owen one time, and he walked up to me. It was a songwriter's night, which I'm sure you're aware, you've been to these, and we started talking. He said, you know what, you really ought to, I'd like to do a song about your show. And by the time he came down and spent the afternoon, and he finally said, you know, he said, why don't you come up one day? And we hung out, and we wrote this song that nobody's ever heard. But that's not the point. I was able to watch how it happened, and it was fascinating to me just to be in a recording studio.
It is, and those performers, those artists, they like Muscle Shoals because it was so laid back. You know, like California or New York or something like that. It was just laid back, and nobody was hurrying them or anything like that. And that was another reason. You know, they were so.
Well, I tell you what, we need to do that, and because one day here pretty soon we're just going to be kick back like today. Thank you, Chris, for bringing it back to our attention, and let's hook up again. We are heading to a break. We've had a lot of music on the show today with Walker Hayes and one of the musicians from Muscle Shoals. Why don't we just do it here? You're a musician, aren't you? Just bring the mics in and just write a song.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! Dunked. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Graham Mertz coming up here in a few minutes, and let us get right back to the calls. And Joey is up next. Hello, Joey.
Hey, Paul. You had a lady pop up there. Her name was Tammy. That brought back a lot of memories.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what. Tammy was an Alabama hater. What I'm asking all these Alabama haters to do is call in, do what Tammy would do, because I need a dump truck load of some Nick Saban rat poison for Saturday night.
Yeah, but you know, for those who don't know, if Tammy was here today,
your bracket the most.
Tammy would be calling in, and she'd be rooting for Purdue. Or UConn, or anybody. She would not be cheering for Alabama against UConn. You got that right. Well, Joey, great to hear from you. Always a pleasure. How about Elliot in Ohio? Not sure I can say the same thing.
Thanks for taking my call. I just want to say how much I enjoy the musical guest you have on, Michael Bivins, a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And now Walker Hayes. Hey, I wanted to talk about his idea about having non-alcoholic beer in Brian Denny Stadium. I think that's a rich idea. I think it's just no other beer but non-alcoholic beer for those fans, as crazy as they are.
Can you imagine going to an Alabama game sober?
No. You know, maybe the parents of the opposing team would be treated better if you had non-alcoholic beer in Bryant Denny, you know?
Yeah, maybe, you know, maybe Elliot, if you were if you had non-alcoholic beer up in the Big Ten, you could have. It would have been easier to suffer through the three straight losses to Michigan for Ohio State.
I don't know. I think maybe even for the NCAA.
Maybe the complete and total beatdown by Mizzou would have been easier to watch.
I don't know about that. We were kind of getting on our cycle, taking it easy. That wasn't an important game for us. But I tell you what will be, Wisconsin and Alabama, when Alabama goes to Wisconsin this year, that'll be an important game.
It sure will. Elliot, always always great to hear from you. Todd is up next.
Good evening, Paul. Thank you for taking my call, buddy. Hey, now I'm going to tell you this, but I still like him now. But you remember when old Chester from Pale City started calling the show?
I do.
All right. About the second or third call he made, Paul, he's sitting on that deck out there, that woman's house he was shacked up with or what have you, drinking that Corona with that lemon in it, and he told us that he was a kept man. Do you remember that?
I do.
Okay. So now it's done come to, he's just like Chester on Gunsmoke. He can't even get a woman. That's what it's done come into. But now, Paul, he ain't going to beat Squirrel. Squirrel's going to crack him like a nut. But I just figured I'd bust down on him. But, Paul, this is what I'm hoping for in the basketball tournament. I hope that UConn or the Miami Hurricanes of 92, you remember what happened, because we thought we couldn't touch them, and we went in there and stomped them.
Remember well.
So I'm hoping UConn act like that. But anyhow, Paul, y'all, my brother Baz, y'all stay out. He's good with sports. That boy knows a lot of stuff, man. I wish I knew what he knows. But anyway, y'all lay off of it a little bit. Paul, thank you for taking my call. Love you, brother.
Thank you very, very much. Man, I don't know. I'm looking at every. Ricky is up next. Hello, Ricky.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Go right ahead. How are you, Ricky?
Yeah. That was a nice little talk with the guy named Chris about
Muscle Shoals. You remember that? You remember that sound, don't you? You're a musician.
Yeah, of course. I remember Roger Hawkins.
And
he was a great drummer, man. Malico used to do a lot of recording sessions over there, and the guy that he was talking about he was trying to think of the name of the guy that wrote that Bob Seger, old time rock and roll. I think that was George Jackson. George Jackson. I think that's the writer that, that wrote that song. I think he did. He wrote One Bad Apple, too, I think.
Oh, wow, that's a pretty big song.
Yeah. So George Jackson's been around. He was a writer for Malico for years.
By the way, I just looked it up out of curiosity. You're right. George Jackson and Thomas Jones were really the ones who came up with that. Seeger got credit for it, of course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he recorded it, what, about two or three times, didn't he?
Yeah. It's a good
but
song.
Anyway, that was a good talk with about Muscle Shoals. That brought back a lot of memories. I had some guys that I played with that played at Muscle Shoals too, and they did some horn sections and played for some of the horn sections in there sometimes. But
that song really became famous. Tom Cruise made that song famous when he did it in his underwear in Risky Business. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, I remember Risky Business.
Was that Tom Cruise's first movie? It was an amazing movie. You gotta remember, I was
probably the one that got him out there, you know.
I mean, I was in my 20s at the time. It meant more than it would now. Thanks for the call, Ricky. We're heading to the break. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. Watch the Paul Feinbaum Show weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on the SEC Network. Plus, you can listen and watch on the ESPN app.